Get Pucked.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Get Pucked podcast, episode 50, the big 50. Congratulations, gentlemen. We've survived each other's company for 50 episodes. No fists have been thrown yet. Quick, just right off the bat, the whole shebang, guys, you know the drill by now. Like, subscribe if you haven't already, please. We appreciate that. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. If you go on Twitter, you'll find our link tree. It'll show you all the different platforms that we're on. If you take a minute or two, we'd really appreciate the subscribe and the like if you like what you hear. That out of the way, let's get into hockey. So, a couple things I want to talk about today. First and foremost, right off the top, because this guy's fascinated me since we acquired him, Gurianov. Just want to dive right into this, gents. Gurianov, have you seen enough? Is he offered a contract? Are you cool with him? Do you want him around? What's the deal? I personally, yes, I've seen enough. I think there's enough there. I think this guy can get polished a little bit better. Maybe not such a diamond in the rough because you can actually see the potential and you saw as a prospect how high he was drafted. I'm for it. I say the Habs offer this guy a contract. No doubt. Maybe not anything extravagant, but definitely enough that that he merits a spot next year without question. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think his qualifying offer is like 2.9 or something. Anyways, I think that absolutely that's what he's going to – like, you absolutely have to do it. I am very high on Denis Gurianov. I like the trade right from the get-go. I was amazed that Dallas let him go, and let alone for Dadonov. Just mind-blowing to me. And since he's been here, he's been amazing. You know, he's been very, very good, scoring goals, showing off his Mike Camilleri on the knee on by the side of the net. I love it.
Yes, sir.
And that's just a little bit what the Canadians need. And I think I'm very happy with what he's produced so far. And I think that he's the exact type of player that this organization needs to take a risk on. He has the potential. He had the pedigree coming into the league. That's why he was drafted so high. And he wasn't probably put in the best position in Dallas, although he did have some playoff success there. So I think that this is the exact type of player that the Canadians should be pursuing, alongside, obviously, the home runs and the prospects and whatnot. But this is a perfect, perfect guy who could grow in to this team culture, if you may. So, yes, I absolutely gets contract. And I think it's a no-brainer for me.
I said it when they acquired him that I feel Dallas gave up on him a little too early. He's still young. He's still just about to hit his prime of his career in a sense. And I think maybe his development was a little hindered by being in Dallas. But with Montreal, it's like he's got carte blanche and you can see it. The way he's playing, the way he can skate, he's got that extra gear similar to Josh Anderson that a lot of players in the NHL don't have. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I think a nice little bridge contract there, a nice little two-year might do the job there. In and around what he's getting paid right now. So 2.9, he might get a little bump just to say, hey, you know, to make it a little more enticing and because, you know, things are a little different from a taxes perspective in Montreal. But he's scoring goals. He's playing very well. He's skating fast. He's skating hard. He's showing that he's trying to get that contract and show that he's an NHL player. And to Montreal's benefit, it's working out. So I also think he's that type of player that could provide some very good secondary scoring. He's got the potential for that, and he can move up and down the lineup when there's injuries, which Montreal those last few years has been known for injuries. So I think Gurianov's a good fit so far, and I just, you know, there's a lot of players that are just coming in and just want to play for Marty St. Louis, and I think the message is going across the NHL right now that Montreal is a place to play when it comes to the certain players that they have and under Marty St. Louis' coaching.
I think it's interesting that you threw out like a two-year bridge deal like that. Like, in your opinion, you think that's the play? I don't know. I might be more inclined to give a little bit more term to kind of just keep the numbers low, but lock this guy down. And if you see the potential and if you see that he's fitting the culture and you see that he's like, yeah, man, you know what? I want to show everybody that I was given up on too soon. And I think I can mesh. I like Marty St. Louis. I like what's going on in Montreal. I mean, you know, Dallas has a good team. And I think even the Dallas fans, as much as I'm not a huge Dallas Stars fan, you know, I think they got a pretty good thing going on in Texas. So I don't think he's coming from a place like Arizona, for example, where it's like a ghost town. Like, he probably had some rah-rah fans there, but it's nothing compared to Montreal. I think everybody knows this. You come and play in front of the Bell Center, and if you perform well and if you're an exciting player, you are like put on a pedestal, man. You are in the stratosphere of like pumped up. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not necessarily against it. If I end up hearing that they sign him for 2 years,
he's a guy that literally came here and has zero pressure. The team's at the bottom of the standings. He can play his game.
Yeah,
do
but
what
that
he
doesn't
has.
Last.
No, I know that doesn't last, but I mean, I'm not so sure that I would give him such a long-term contract, because the last thing you want is this to be a flash in the pan type of scenario, and all of a sudden you've committed to it for too long for too much money. So it's this to me, I look at it as it's more of a show me what you got. And while he has shown me enough to merit a contract, he hasn't shown me enough to go long term and give him upwards of $4, $5, and $6 million. He's nowhere close.
No, I wouldn't say offer him that much, but I'm saying if the difference is like you can give him an extra $1 million on top of whatever you're prepared for, you're prepared to give him $3 million, let's say you give him $4 million, but you can lock him down for 4 years.
The last time we did that, his name was Joel Armia, and we're trying to get rid of him. I don't want to do that.
It's a very different situation, but okay.
Well, no, it's not, because Joel Armia got his contract because he had certain moments, and in those moments, it was like, okay, you know, we have a big body guy who could play the forecheck, and let's sign him to a contract because we managed to sign him right when he had that good stint. And then all of a sudden, the injuries start to pile up. All of a sudden, he's not playing the same way. He has one goal in 20-plus games. And it's like, I don't want that same
stuff. No, I understand. You're a belt and suspenders kind of guy. I could appreciate that. I know it. You don't bet on spec. You want to see results, and then you pay the person. I'm okay with that. Listen, I'm okay with that. I'm just saying, I think it's fascinating that this guy came in, the way he came in to Dave's point. I think absolutely everybody when that trade went through was like, oh my God, how? What side thing did Kent Hughes throw out there to be like, hey man, you hooked me up, I'll help you on the side. I know some people, you know, are you in the market for a new car? I know a guy. I don't know what happened there. I don't know. But I think it's a crazy deal. I think it's been paying off incredibly well for the Canadians, given from what we've seen from Gurianov so far. And I find this as a nice little silver lining for an otherwise abysmal season. But that aside, another player that I think we need to dedicate a little bit of time about, because he's been all over the social media, not quite an NHL player yet, but I do have a question regarding Lane Hutson. Now, Lane Hutson is getting hyped real hard. I think anybody who's anybody who might not even be a huge prospects kind of people, fans, if you will, know about this kid. And so my question is this. I mean, is the hype for real? Now, I'm going to go out and say immediately this is a phenomenal hockey player. I don't think either of you are going to say otherwise. But, I mean, where this hype train is taking this kid, I mean, we're talking about comparisons already to some of the best defensemen in the game, right? That's what they're starting with today. They're already saying the next Makar, the next Adam Fox, this guy shattering their NCAA records, yada, 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 all this kind of stuff. So is the hype, in your opinion, I won't hold you to it because you never know, but is the hype train starting to get off the rails a little bit, or is this merited? We saw what he did in overtime when he won, when he got the game-winning goal to seal the deal in the Northeastern tournament. What do you guys think? I'm curious on your take on Lane Hutson.
All right.
Vito, sorry, maybe. Or Dave, whatever.
Oh, no, go Vito.
Vito. Okay, Vito first. Let's go.
When was the last time the Montreal Canadiens had a player or prospect that got you this excited about, especially on defense? Let's
especially
focus on defense.
It's been a
long time. I don't even think PK Subban has had that much hype when he was in his draft year. Okay,
Jared Tenorti, baby.
Oh yeah, look how that ended up. But no, Lane Hutson. Exactly.
That's his point.
But Lane Hutson is made for today's NHL. He's got skill. He's got the hockey IQ. He's got the speed. He's got the finesse. He's got all the tools a defenseman, a quarterback style defenseman, a puck moving offensive force needs, and he's got it all. And he's doing it. And he's producing in the NCAA. And you know what? He's winning. So like recently, when he scored that overtime winner to win the championship there, that's the type of situation, type of scenario that just takes his players' confidence to a whole other level and just brings their game to another level. And they could build on that. And they come in to an NHL team eventually as true gamers, as winners already. So Lane Hutson, when he was drafted, remember this, guys, he was drafted in the second round. But a lot of people said he had the tools and skill set to be a first-round pick. The reason why he wasn't picked is because he was on the small side. And Montreal has a history of drafting these players that are on the small side, taking a chance, and they become something more often than not. So now you're hearing what everybody, it's not just, you know, the Montreal fans, which we have the tendency to overhype players and bring them to another level. We do have that.
Say.
Admittedly, I will say it, and I'm a Habs fan. With that being said, this is not just Habs fans that are talking about this kid. It's every analyst. It's NHL scouts that are talking about him. It's every site that has that focuses on advanced analytics. They're all talking about how Lane Hutson could be the next Quinn Hughes or an Adam Fox. I haven't heard too much about Cale Makar, but maybe there has been some little comparisons here and there, but I've been mostly hearing that he could either be a Quinn Hughes, which wouldn't be a bad thing for Montreal, or he could be an Adam Fox, which would be even better. If he comes out to anything like those guys,
but what Montreal do you believe? We all know the book on the kid. What do you believe? Is the hype real? Do you think this is going to happen? What's his ceiling in your opinion?
I think the hype is real, and I do think he's going to slot in potentially. Let me take the potential out. I think he will slot into a top pair role on the Montreal Canadiens.
Fair. Wow. Dave,
do you agree? I'm of a more cautious approach. And to me, it mirrors a little bit what Simon Sliga said over the weekend with me on the starters. But it's just like, wait till they're in. Like, you got to perform at the show, right? You have to perform in the NHL. And to me, fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three. Like, how many times do people get excited about these prospects and, you know, they get overhyped? Don't get me wrong. Lane Hutson seems like but the guy's 5'9", right? And you could talk about the small defense. Cale Makar is 5'11". Adam Fox, 5'11" as well. But 5'9", and that's like, people are saying it's generous, 5'9". In the NHL, man, like, it's a different ball game. It's a very different ball game.
5'10". He grew to 5'10".
sure. And we could talk about, you know, the latest social media hype is his goal, you know, his OT goal where he undresses the ball. That's not happening in the NHL. Like, forget it. Like, it was more of a defensive failure than it was an amazing move. He went left, he went right, he went left, he went right, and he scored a goal. Like, to me, it's impressive. It was fun to see the defenseman flip and flop. But that's not happening in the NHL. Like, a normal NHL defenseman would have shut that down, and the back-checking center that was coming back would have also shut that down. So to me, it's impressive. It's cool to see. I like it. Maybe, and I have hope he's going to be an NHL defenseman. I think he will, for sure. Will he be a star or a first-pairing defenseman? I'm going to hold my judgment on that, and I'm going to say that the odds are stacked against him, especially at his height. It's impressive what he's doing. Don't get me wrong. But the NCAA game is a lot different than the NHL game.
Okay. So Dave's hitting that break on the hype train hard. Okay.
Mark, I understand. As of March 22nd, Lane Hutson will eventually be a first pairing defenseman on the Montreal Canadiens.
Okay, but like, it has to be a good Montreal Canadiens defenseman team. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, David Savard was first pairing defenseman at some point. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay, like, yeah, I'm not saying okay, a first pairing, not miscasted defenseman on the.
Okay, fair. I just don't see that happening. And I'm not saying I'm hoping I'm wrong, and I'm hoping that the kid has an amazing future ahead of him. But I'm playing the odds here, and I've seen it too many times, especially the college level, like the. I've seen it. People come in, Christian Hansen hype, and they're not defensemen; they're the same type of player. But all these hyped players coming into the league, they're going to take the league by storm, and it never pans out. And
there's hype, and then I feel like this is a different level. And that's why I wanted to ask you about it. I mean, there's prospects to be excited about. I mean, we talk about Owen Beck. We're excited about Owen Beck. We think he's going to be a good player. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mistar is going to probably be a very good player. I'm like,
the hype around Lane Hutson is as though he was drafted first overall.
It's very good. Yeah, this hype train, man, is off the chart. Like you say,
to me,
I don't recall the last time a prospect was this touted on this team.
Cole Caulfield, I believe. Cole Caulfield
was drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
I get it, but he did. Yeah, but he still had that hype around him, and I think that this is very similar. And if he could perform like Cole Caulfield, then yeah, for sure, I'm all for it.
That's a massive slam.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
But I have my he is a very small player, and it's just a totally different game, especially as a defenseman. And I know that it suits me. He's more tailor-made for this NHL than in the past, but he's still small, man. And it still remains to be seen. And for me, the hype, it's fun to get hyped and it's fun, but it's just like,
as long as they're not going to fear the front of the net, I think they're fine.
Who knows? Maybe he goes overseas, dude, like, and gets those shin implants, and he, you know,
it's all if he's your first pairing defenseman, you know what I mean? Like, maybe he does have to clear the net.
What if you pair him with Caden Gooley? All of a sudden, that pairing's pretty good.
Sure. If they both pan out to be exactly how they're supposed to be.
Gooley is doing exactly what he should be. Just
as long as he never plays in Florida again, he'll be perfectly fine. okay. All right. So I think we're all in agreement. The hype is probably, I misspeak there. Vito thinks the hype is for real. Dave thinks the hype is a little bit overdone. I kind of sit somewhere in the middle. I mean, it's. Ooh. I think. Well, listen. He's done.
A belt and suspenders kind of guy.
I just wear a belt. Dave is free in the wind, and you're locked down in the
snow. I'm not even wearing pants.
That's it. Exactly. I personally believe there's a lot of potential with the kid. I think the hype and the buildup, particularly in this market, of what's being put on this kid, is almost unobtainable. Almost. Maybe he comes out and maybe he ends up growing an inch or two, or maybe he will be 5'9" and everybody's going to talk about in 25, 30 years from now, this small defenseman who rocked everybody and who was like a top guy. I don't know. I got to sit in the middle. I think he's got the tools and the skill. I think it's phenomenal. To Dave's point, the game from the NCAA doesn't quite translate to the NHL. We got to see how he plays out there. When a guy who's 6'5", 220 pounds comes bowling at him, I mean, you know, to your point, Vito, he's not going to be a net front presence kind of guy. I don't know. I'm going to sit in the middle. I'm very
just
optimistic.
Remember, a lot of people had the exact same doubts about Cole Caulfield when coming to the NHL.
But he's a small forward. It's
how's
different.
How's he going to do when 7'4"? He's going to be at the big leagues. And then he started to slump while Ducharme was there. And it's like, you see, we were right.
Yeah,
Nick
yeah.
Roberts is better, blah, 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 blah. And then fast forward to Marty St. Louis, and all of a sudden, Cole Caulfield is projected to be a 50-goal scorer. You know what I mean?
Projected. Okay? And again, the Cole Caulfield experiment, and I don't want to touch back on our experiment. It's not proven either. You know, he's a guy who scores when his team – he has zero defensive responsibilities. He has zero – you know what I mean? Like, there's still a million things to be seen about whether Cole Caulfield can do it long-term, what he's doing. And so to say that he'll be a slam dunk like Cole Caulfield, I mean, like, Cole Caulfield's not even a slam dunk. We've seen prospects come in, tear it up, and then cool down very, very quickly when they adjust or when they're put on a team that has to win or the pressure is on.
Okay.
And, you know, his whole career so far has been – you know, he's like, paid like found Dave, money.
I feel like Dave's got like Habs PTSD from the last like 10, 15 years.
I mean, can you blame him? Really?
I really don't. I'm just a realist when it comes to these things. And I don't want to say, like, I don't want to hurt people's feelings by saying that the hype of sometimes, but it's like every year it's like, oh, this player is going to be the best in the world. And it's just like, it's been 20 years of mediocrity. And it's like, how can you fall for it time and time again? And now, just because there's social media clips of NCAA games, which was never had, even like 5 years ago, there was no social media clips of NCAA highlights. Now there is, so people could get hyped and stuff like that. Fine, that's great, but just pump the brakes is all I'm saying, and let it play out.
I hear you. Okay, pumping the brakes. I hear all of that. The slight difference with this time around is that When there was players like Jared Tenorti, because you mentioned him earlier, and everyone was hyping him, a lot of it was the Montreal media, and a lot of it was the Montreal fan base, and because he's Mark Tenorti's kid and all that stuff. But a lot of other people had their doubts and would say, he's not that good. He's not that great. Like, he's not a bad player, but he's not that great. This time, with Lane Hudson, it's like the consensus amongst everybody is that this is a top prospect that the Montreal Canadiens line with.
The consensus has never been wrong.
I saw that with Galchenyuk. What happened to Alex Galchenyuk? Scored 30 goals. He's going to be the best. And then what happened? Dropped off a cliff.
There was doubts with Galchenyuk because of his knee injury.
You know what I mean? Like, okay. It's just.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get your point, Vito, and you make good points.
Top pairing.
Stop what? Sorry?
It'll be a top pairing.
Top pairing. Okay, gotcha.
Listen. You guys brought up Cole Caulfield a couple times there as a comparison, which kind of segues into the main thing I really wanted to talk about today. We were playing this game before a day ago with Vito and I about looking at the other teams and kind of saying, okay, every single, like, maybe not every single, but for the majority of like the best teams in the league, they have like a big four. We were calling it like a big four. Four forwards for the most part, with the exception, some teams do have like a top defensive guy who kind of considers, you can slot him in like a forward, if you will, almost with the points they put up. So the big four of the teams. So we kind of started musing around, okay, and we were saying, okay, let's go under some assumptions. Let's assume the Habs get Pierre-Luc Dubois. It seems like this is inevitability. We don't know who's going to go out to go get him, but at some point or another, either they do some trade and they get him next year, or in the offseason of the following year, he's going to come here. It seems like it's coming. So let's pencil him in on the team. So, if you will, humor me, Dave. Humor me.
I'm humoring. I'm on board.
If I give you Pierre-Luc Dubois, Suzuki, Caulfield, and Doc, and I say that's going to be your big four, are you comfortable with that being your big four to build around and to have moving your team to the next echelon of being competitive to go for a cup? And I'll just, for the sake of the listeners, throw out a couple of other teams' big fours. And yes, Vito will come and chime in and explain why it's not fair, but just to say. Some of the other teams' big fours, if you will, rattling them off quickly. Rantanen, McKinnon, Makar, Landeskog. Matthews, Marners, Tavares, Nylander. Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, Hedman, or Sergachev, pick whichever. Marshawn, Bergeron, Pasternak, McAvoy. Hughes, Heischer, Myers, Bratt, Hamilton. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I'll give you two more, for example. Kachuk, DeBrincat, Giroux, and Stutzel. And then Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and Gensel. Now, when I name these, yes, they're far, far, far down the road in a lot of their careers, comparatively speaking, to the guys I just named. So you're going to have to project a little bit. So project those four, Suzuki, Doc, Caulfield, and Pierre-Luc Dubois, project this 4 years down the road. Are you cool with that? Are you going to get behind that? Is that where you think this management team should be putting all of their energy and efforts behind? Or is there still another move or something that needs to be made? And I'm not even talking about Slafkovský, who was a first overall pick. He's not even there. I'm just saying those four guys. What do you think?
I mean, I think that they could do better. I think that those guys, I mean, like, what do all these players have in common? Most of them, they're 100-point guys, or they're 40-goal scorers, or 30-goal scorers, or they're point-of-game players at the very, very minimum. Their fourth guys are point-of-game players, right? But for the most part, like even Jesper Bratt, like you just named that, they're still new in their careers, and he's a 30-goal scorer already, right? Or, you know what I mean? Like, he's already hit that. Nick Suzuki, you could discuss all the day if he's going to grow into being a point-of-game player, but he's not. He's not yet. He's not at that level.
He's not yet. Correct.
Cole Caulfield.
He was Brad Marchand at the same stage in his career.
Okay, but like, fine. That's fair, I guess. But Nick Suzuki is like, I don't know. To me, the Brad Marchand, I think you saw it a little bit more. Like, I think Nick Suzuki, I think he's pretty much what he's going to be, in my opinion. If I'm going to be honest, I think he is where he is.
That's a hot take there. That's a hot take.
65 point player. That's where you put him. That's what he's going to be.
75, maybe a few years of a point of game player. Maybe a few years of that. Like one, two, maybe. But I think that he's not necessarily a point producing top line center. He could be a top line center, but he's not necessarily a guy who's going to get you the 100 points, a la everybody else that you named on that list. And I just think that, you know, Kirby Doc is not there. Like, it's Kirby Doc, we saw him,
extrapolate.
Projecting. Well, that's what I'm saying. So
project.
I'm projecting that this is not going to be a big...
Suzuki ceiling is a 75-point player. Doc, you think, is perhaps in and around the same, maybe a little bit shy of that, 65
probably
points.
Probably shy of that, yes.
Okay. And Caulfield might put up goals, but...
Yes, he'll put up goals. Cole Caulfield's probably going to be slotting into that top four, I think, for sure. I think no matter what, I mean, no matter what I say about him, and he hasn't proven his consistency, the guy's a goal scorer, I think he'll be fine. And then Dubois, again, I don't know. And coming to Montreal, a Montreal Canadian Dubois is different than like playing in Winnipeg where, you know, nobody cares. Like it's a lot different to me. Not that nobody cares. I don't mean to say that, but I just mean the media attention is not necessarily the same.
The one thing you got to factor in with Dubois is he actually wants to come here versus him being traded here and being like, oh crap, you know, I'm getting thrown to the wolves here.
Yeah.
He's a big believer in that. For some reason, yeah. Keeps bringing that up whenever we talk about it.
I'm a big believer of when players actually want to be here. The last player who really wanted to be here and got moved was PK Subban, and that was probably the best part of his career was with the Montreal Canadiens.
Not probably. It was absolutely the best part of his career.
Some people can say, oh, he was more successful.
He didn't get moved here. He was drafted here. It's a little different.
Yeah, he was drafted. He didn't necessarily.
I would argue, maybe Matheson. And it's super early on that, but he's been doing very, very well. And he's a guy from here. It seems like he's pretty hyped about being a Montreal Canadian. You can sort of maybe a little bit there. It's not quite the same level, I understand.
There's just something different when somebody wants to be here. You obviously elevate yourself when you want to be somewhere you want to be. Versus when you don't want to be somewhere, it's like, just get me the hell out of here.
I think that story's overplayed a little bit. I think these guys are pros and they play. I don't know. Like, to me, how many players wanted to go play with the Toronto Maple Leafs? How many players want Nick Foligno so happy to go be at Toronto? Did that help them win a playoff series? No. Like,
it was 35.
Okay, but you could talk about
Tavares.
I've seen it happen a million times of people saying they want to come play. You know, Toronto, Montreal, that's the two meccas of hockey that everybody wants to come play for. And only were even the Rangers, arguably. You know what I mean? Like Rangers have had some success, but still. So, to me, it's just... If that's your top four, going back to your original question, if that's your top four, I think it needs a bit of work. I think it needs a bit of work either from a super prospect that you're going to draft, you know, in the top five right now that's going to turn out really great, or you have to make an extra move. Like a Dubois is a Marc Bergevin move, kind of move. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it doesn't do anything for me. Like going to get Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Okay,
he's good, he's great, he's an improvement.
He makes an impact on the team right away.
He does, but it's just, again, it's like, meh. You know, I can't explain it. I can't explain why.
I think that's perfect explanation. Meh completely encapsulates it because I'm in agreement. I think he's a fantastic player, but even you, Vito, were telling me the other day, what was his highest total season ever? What's the most this guy's ever done?
61 points. This season is on pace for a 70-point season.
60. Hold on a second. The guy comes to Montreal. He wants to play in Montreal. That automatically makes him a bump from 60 to 90. That's a 30-point swing he's playing where he wants to play.
He doesn't have a 30-goal season either. Like, it's just, to me, it's like, okay, great. He's a great player, a great addition to this team in the grand scheme of things. But again, it's like, maybe you could do better than that. You know, and it's like, it's like, wow, okay, this one guy in the NHL wants to come play with you, so now that's who you're going to saddle yourself with. It's like, you know what I mean? Like,
he's 24 years old, a former third overall who's had a steady progression statistically, okay? He does play a certain style where when he's on, there's a little edge to his game. He's an immediate impact right away. He could play center or wing, but likely would slot in as a center in Montreal. And you're looking, he's a big body guy. So, yeah, he's a very good addition to the Montreal Canadiens. Is he a Nathan MacKinnon? No, he's not. Is he a Leon Draisaitl? No, he's not. But those guys, what's the common denominator with all those players? Is that they were drafted by those teams. So when you can add a player like Pierre-Luc Dubois who wants to come to Montreal, it should motivate the player and it's going to bump up the team and encourage the team to say, hey, we just put an impact forward on our roster who hasn't even hit his prime years yet. And is only 24 years old. So,
but there's no one arguing against that, Vito. Like, what the argument is he going to be the top four comparable, lining up against face to head to head against Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Mitch Marner, and William Nylander? Like, to me, it's crazy to think that's in the same category.
I honestly never get into that category. When Matt brought up this question, the first thing, and this was my first reaction, is, are they going to be as good and as talented as Matthews, that combination of Matthews, Marner, Nylander? No, they're not. Those guys are on another level. But they'll be competitive. They're going to get wins from them. They're going to make it hard. They're going to be harder to play against, that's for sure. And all of a sudden, it's going to look a lot better when you're 1-2 punch down the middle
is likely Suzuki and Dubois, and you have Doc on the wing, Caulfield on the wing, whatever pick they're getting now. Like, so I'm just saying, the Montreal Canadiens will probably be, it on paper at least, will be better than they have been in a very, very long time up front, and not just depending on a goalie. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, somebody like Pierre-Luc Dubois, you're looking at, you're having this conversation, you ask this question, is because it's worth asking this question, because all of a sudden they got that good. They're that much better than they were in the past. Or else we wouldn't be asking.
They have a top four now. It's just I wouldn't dare mention the top four now, because their big four right now is not quite a big four.
Their big four are very young.
Their big four is exactly who it is, who you just listed. It's exactly who you just – Suzuki, Caulfield, Doc. We're already there.
Yeah.
And then you're going to add who? Josh Anderson, maybe, and you're going to replace him with Dubois.
I put Slafkovský. I mean
– Fine, Slafkovský, you're going to replace him with Dubois. You just said, oh, they're big four now. It's almost a joke. But then now you're debating –
No.
I said they're too young. They're too young.
Nobody said a joke. Hold on a second.
Hold on. Time out.
Okay, not a joke, but – not a joke. You know what I mean? Like
today.
Oh, okay, fine. Fair.
Today they're way too young to compare them to guys who are 24.
Well, yeah, of course. You can't compare today's
27 years old. I mean, think of MacKinnon. The guy's 27 years old. He's further along in his development than any of the players the Montreal Canadiens have on their roster today, practically.
Yeah, but can any of the guys on the Montreal Canadiens today have a ceiling that is MacKinnon when they're 27?
No.
Yeah,
so there's kind of like not so much sort of your answer, but like okay, forget MacKinnon. What about Hughes?
But again, that's 100. But Jack Hughes,
when Nathan MacKinnon was 22-23, he was putting up 99 and 97 points. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like, oh, he's only 22, he's going to develop soon. He was already developed. You know,
MacKinnon on 82 game schedule this season is on pace for 126 points. That's second in the league.
But he's saying bring him back to a 22-year-old. He was getting 90. When was the last time somebody in the Habs got 90?
Then he was getting 50s also, right? So he was struggling at the beginning of his career a little bit.
When he was 18, 19, 20. But then as soon as he hit 21, 22, I think he put up a 97-point season.
As soon as he started training with Crosby.
I think it's important. Like, okay, so you guys are answering it exactly the way that I expected you to answer it, which makes perfect sense. And that kind of finalizes into where I wanted to come, which is the very last piece of this episode, is given now that we kind of are in agreement where we sort of see our big four, if you will, it's good. To Vito's point, they could be competitive. They're good players. These are very, very talented young guys. And who knows, maybe their progression skyrockets. We don't know. Or maybe they maintain, like Dave is suggesting, that it could theoretically be ceiling of 70-ish points, and that isn't good enough. So the question now is this. I end with this, boys. You do have Slafkovský. The book is still very out on this kid. He's brand new. Didn't really play too much this year, but he's a first overall pick. You got him. Now you can take one of the, you know, the Caulfield, Dave, I think you agreed. He's a guarantee in your big four for sure. I agree too. Now the other pieces are kind of moving. Suzuki is likely there. Let's be real. Even if he's 75 points, that's a big four. That's good enough to me. How important is this draft? Does this not put that much more emphasis on this draft on a top five pick?
What did I say last episode? What did I say? You guys asked
me a lot of things. What did you say last episode?
Last episode, you had asked what it's like to declare the offseason a success. We were having what did I say? I go, Montreal has to nail and hit a home run this draft. This draft, more than any draft coming up, it's this draft they got to hit because they got several picks for this draft. And it happens to be a draft where they're falling into the hopefully bottom five or top five, however you want to look at it. And it's a top prospect that it's deep enough that you say that this is a person that comes into the NHL and makes an impact on your team right away. Now, there's a big difference between Connor Bedard, Fantilli, and the others, right? But they're still impact players that they're going to be able to draft this year. Now you got to factor in that they also have a second first-round pick. Even if it falls between 14th and 17th, it's still another first-round pick in this draft. So they got to nail this. That's how important this one is.
This is
100% important draft.
They got to hit the Cale Makar of this draft.
That's a very fair point.
They need to do. They really need to do that. They got to get a little lucky, and they got to hit the Cale Makar of this draft. Because I don't think they're getting first overall pick. I don't even think they're getting the second overall pick, to be honest with you.
They'd have to be very lucky.
It's very lucky, and this team is anything but lucky. So I don't believe that that's going to happen. Listen, when it comes to draft day, I'm going to cross my fingers, but I'm not banking on it.
So maybe with all the injuries, they put enough quarters in the karma jar. Who knows?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But yeah, you're right. They absolutely need to nail this draft. And just to see what they're going to do with the picks too is interesting too. I mean, that you know, that second pick, is it probably in play? And maybe they make a move that impacts their organization more than just selecting somebody a home run in the first round, right? Like maybe people come knocking and they offer something that's a little bit more interesting. Yeah. So yeah, this draft, more than last year somehow, which last year was in Montreal and they had the first overall.
It's crazy.
Last year, this draft is so important. And
because of how deep the draft is rumored to be. It's because of how deep the draft is rumored to be. Why it's much more important than last year.
For sure. But even in deep drafts, even in historically deep drafts, there's some top, you know, early pick players or busts, or didn't have the career projected. So you've got to be very careful.
If you look at the 2015 NHL draft, they're now saying it's one of the deepest drafts in recent memory. And there were some names in there that, they did not pan out whatsoever. But you know who did pan out? Well, it's still the Jersey style, but Montreal's got him. His name's Gurianov. We got him.
Well, remember the Leafs. I remember that was the draft, the Dylan Strom draft, right? Everybody was high in Toronto on Dylan Strom because they needed that center, they needed a big center. And they ended up, Dylan Strom ended up going to Arizona, and the Leafs ended up picking up a guy named Mitch Marner, who I don't know. How's he doing?
Talent, that guy.
So if you look at it,
you got to get lucky, man. You got to get lucky. And I come back. That's going to be my new mantra. That's literally going to be my new thing. They need the Cale Makar of this draft. That's what they need.
I'm looking at this draft, and you're absolutely right. There are some misses in this. There's some great hits. You know, Barzal, Kyle Connor, Thomas Chabot, but there's some
There's big games in 2015.
Even Joel Eriksson Ek is on here. This is crazy, actually. It's a pretty good draft.
2015 turned out to be, and people at the time were saying that it wasn't going to be a very deep draft. But that's funny how things can change, right? I mean, you can go into the second round of the 2015 draft, and you're going to have, you know, there's names that you're going to know for sure. Christian Fisher, Sebastian Aho. Brandon Carlo. You look, and there's Jordan Greenway, like Vince Dunn. Look at he's having his breakout year this year, right? So there are Rupi Hintz was drafted there in the second round as well, and he's Dallas's number one center now. So
I would take almost any of those guys right now.
And
on the team.
Montreal's got another player that they acquired through waivers in the third round, Sammy Montembeau. How's it going? What's up?
Okay. Number one. I think that's the cue right there. That's the cue. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for sticking around. If you made it all the way to the end of the episode, you are the true hero of the episode. So on top of that, like I said, this was episode 50. So if you've been following us along from the start, again, tremendous amount of thank you for that. We've been having a lot of fun doing it, and hopefully we're going to keep on doing it for another 50 at least. And so what we're going to talk about next time is maybe we'll dive further into the 2015 draft. It seems like we're really enjoying that.
Kaprizov, freaking Troy Terry is there. Like, this is ridiculous.
There you go. So we're going to dedicate the whole next episode. 51 is about the 2015 draft. We're going to get down to the seventh round. We're going to go through everything.
Yes.
Don't you worry.
Vito
for that, guys. Yeah, of course he is. He's going to have spreadsheets and everything. Thank you very much. Again, the whole like, subscribe thing, if you can, we appreciate it. And for Vito and Dave, I'm Matt. And of course, this was Get Pucked.